How are we all doing today? Yeah? Who's had a good day? Who's enjoyed the sun? It's been a lovely, lovely, lovely day. I feel quite drained actually from sitting out and hard working in the sun and just, you know, relaxing. Like, it's hard work, eh? It's hard work. You know, everyone just smile and nod in agreement. Hard work. It's hard work. Anyway, as Pastor Dave said, tonight I want to continue preaching on the kingdom. We've been preaching on the kingdom a little bit this morning and been touching on it the last couple of weeks. Pastor Dave's actually been preaching a series about getting in the game, in which the game is life, and it's about living an abundant life, a purposeful life, a life where we've got a kingdom perspective, where the kingdom is first. So tonight I just want to just elaborate and just put a bit of my view on there, a bit of my spin, and just hope you guys just receive something and just get something tonight. So how about we just pray and then we'll get into it. God, I just thank you for this opportunity to be able to share with all these lovely people here, God. And I just pray that you'd just speak through me, God. I pray that these words that you've given me, God, would be imparted, that something would inspire us and encourage us wherever we're at, God. And I just pray by the power of your word and the power of your spirit that you'd just speak to us tonight, God, and renew our minds and renew our hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everyone said amen. Amen. Anyway, like I said, like Jesus preached a lot on the kingdom. Like it was one of his big topics. It was probably one of his, you know, he's pretty good at it. And all through the Gospels, we see it time and time again. We read through Matthew and read through like Matthew 13 and 18 and 19 and Luke 19 and all that. Like he just talks about it in parables, just over and over again, just talking about the kingdom of heaven is like this, the kingdom of God is like this. And yeah, he's just hoping and praying that the people that he's teaching at that time would just catch a glimpse, just glean something from him of what he was speaking about. And, you know, tonight I just want to talk about the kingdom, but I'm not going to talk about fishnets and talk about like mustard. Well, actually, I am going to talk about mustard seeds, but I'm going to talk about a few other bits and pieces like to you guys, because we don't live in 2,000 years ago. So I want to try to bring it to you in a sort of a fresh sort of way. But so, like I said, I want to be talking about the kingdom. And as I said, Pastor Dave's been talking about the game. And something that I had in my heart and in my head. It's like getting in the game isn't about getting into the kingdom. It's about getting the kingdom into the game. It's about bringing the kingdom of God into our lives and putting that first. In Matthew 6, in the NIV, Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." I think we all know this, don't we? "Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Here we see Jesus teaching us how we should pray and teaching us to pray for his kingdom to come and for his will to be done here in our lives, in our world, as it is done in heaven. And he encourages us to pray this prayer. And I don't think he encourages us to pray it so, like, because he can't do it if we don't pray it. Because I think, you know, like God is all powerful. He will make a way. He makes a way where it seems like there is no way. But it's a prayer that actually changes us and transforms us. It's a prayer that he encourages to pray for our own benefit, I believe. Because when we pray this prayer, something shifts and changes in us. Like we shift from our perspective of just a self sort of nature, of a self sort of perspective, to a perspective that focuses on the kingdom first. And that's why it's so powerful to be able to like have that prayer written in the gospel, just Jesus teaching us, saying, "Hey, this is how you should pray." And I'd encourage you guys, if you haven't gotten into this, into Matthew 6 for a while, get into it. It's a great piece of scripture. And, you know, if you meditate on that, I really believe God will speak to you pretty full on. Yeah. At Hillsong Conference earlier this year, I was blessed to be able to listen to Brian Houston be able to preach. And something that he said that sort of sticked to me, and I just want to share it to you. He said, "A kingdom revelation, which is eternal, brings a kingdom spirit, which is internal, and a kingdom perspective and focus, which is external." And as I said, as I believe this prayer in Matthew 6, it's in line with this. As we lift our eyes and lift our understandings and lift our perspectives and our limitations from one what is, you know, like governed from what the world says God is like, but to one that God has, then, you know, we realize that all things are possible and all things are relevant. So by shifting our mindsets and transforming our minds by renewing of our minds, and shifting our perspectives to the eternal, it allows the eternal life or God's kingdom, like the sort of, you know, the things of the kingdom, which are faith, hope, and love, those sort of things, you know, fill us, which changes our internal. And as that changes our internal being, it allows us to be able to reach out to the external. You sort of follow, you guys follow me there, or am I making just gibberish? Like, you getting that? Yeah? All right. Yeah, just checking, because I don't want to leave you guys behind. But yeah, so that's, I just think that's so cool. As we shift our perspectives to one of the eternal, God will change us inside, which will allow us to be the change in the world around us of being able to bring the kingdom, so we can see his kingdom come and his will be done. And I believe this is a reality that God wants to share to every single one of us. You know, it's not just for those that have been lucky enough to be brought up in church and blessed to be in a Christian family, or for people like me that sort of had a bit of an idea that there might be more to life than doing what I was doing. So I rocked up to church one day and lo and behold, I found God, which is pretty sweet. But you know, like, it says that God so loved the world he gave his son for everyone. Like, it's for everyone. This isn't just something that we've just for us guys here. It's for everyone out there as well. And like, so let me just encourage you just to, you know, grab a hold of and press after God and seek a revelation of him and seek a revelation of the kingdom. But it doesn't end there. Like I said, the prayer changes and transforms us. And you know, it's hard in the modern day sort of world. Like, it's easy just to sort of conform, like it says in Romans 13, you know, do not no longer conform to the patterns of the world, but be transformed by renewing of the mind. And it's easy just to be, you know, for most of us here, there's a lot of younger people here, but there's also a few older guys along, which I love. I think it's great that you guys come along and support us. But it's easy just to be, you know, a Gen Y or a Gen I, as I like to call us, because a lot of us are I, me. Like, what am I going to get today? What's this for me? You know, in the 21st century, just having an attitude like that. But I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a Gen Y person with the only difference between me and the person next to me tomorrow is that I come to church on a Sunday. You know, I want to be real. I want to be radical. I want to be for the kingdom. I want to be for Jesus. I want to be, you know, have a heart that's just so after him that everyone sees it through me. There's not just you guys that I'm speaking to here on a Sunday, but it's everyone that I walk into during the week. And that's something that we need to do. It's something that's what the gospel's about. It's about not about us anymore. It's about the unsaved. It's about the people that do not know Jesus and haven't received a revelation. And like, you know, it seems foolish at first. It says that the things, like, this seems foolish, that God uses the foolish to forgotten the word, to confound the wise. But, you know, so the people out there are just like, like, if you just go up to them and start speaking the gospel, sometimes it's just weird and they're like, what are you talking about? But like, you know, it's about your life. It's about it coming out in what you do. It's, actions always speak louder than words. And the Pharisees asked Jesus about the kingdom of God in Luke 17:20-21. And this is what Jesus said. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation. Nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you." You see, when we receive this revelation or this understanding of what the kingdom of God is about and where it resides, you know, and that comes from receiving Jesus, the man who spoke of it, the Son of God, we're then commissioned to be, you know, to be sent to share what we have received to others so they may hear and understand what we've received. Like, it's sort of like if God gave us a loaf of bread and we were starving, but everyone else out there is starving as well. Like, I sort of picture it this way. Like, God doesn't want us just to hog the bread to ourselves. He wants us to go and pull it apart and share it to the people down the road that haven't got the bread yet or haven't got anything to eat yet. Like, because we were all, like Pastor Dave shared earlier, we were all dead and in sin. But we've just been blessed enough to have received the gift that God has given us of this revelation of Jesus and have received him. And now it's our mandate, if you like to say, to be able to do the same, to be able to share it in the same way of humbling ourselves and saying, hey, I can't do it on my own, but I've got God, and that's pretty sweet. So we're all going? You're all good? All good? I'm just going to grab some water because it's quite hot. I had to take my, I was wearing trousers and nice pointy shoes this morning, but I had to take them off. It was just far too hot. I just didn't think I'd probably pass out of heat stroke if I came up here wearing that today. So, they didn't need to know that. So, what is the kingdom? What is kingdom culture? Like I said, it's an eternal thing. And what we have inside of us is the eternal thing, internal. And what we're called to bring to the world is the external thing. And the thing that we want to make it, we want to make all those eternal. We want to have a perception of the kingdom, which is eternal. We want to have what's inside of us an eternal thing, because you can't give what you don't have. Because if you don't have the eternal inside you, you can't bring that to the world. And so I just want to share to you just three things, three points of like what are some eternal cultures, things that never fade. Number one, a kingdom culture is a culture of love. In 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, it reads, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrongs, it perseveres, love never fails." And if you go on further, it says these three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And I've been reading through Corinthians the last about last 4 weeks or so, and just God just really spoke to me about this. And Jesus, the person of Jesus, displayed every single one of these aspects of love described here in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Like, Jesus wasn't an impatient person. He was like, you know, willing to stop for the least of these and love and care for them. Love is kind. You know, he showed where people would pass others up, where they would, like the Pharisees would walk past. It says, I've had a mental blank. Where there was the guy across the road and they kept on walking, but the Good Samaritan, the parable of Good Samaritan, you know, Jesus displayed that. He went and cared for those that were hurting and broken. Love does not envy. You know, he wasn't after the things of the world. Like, Satan tempted him, but Jesus still went, "No, I'm thankful, I'm content." Love is not boastful or proud. It says in Philippians that Christ humbled himself, that he had an attitude of humility. Love is not rude. You know, that's, you know, the opposite to that's building up. Love is not easily angered. I love that one. It says love is not easily angered. It doesn't say love isn't angered. It says love isn't easily angered. And like, I just think that's really cool, because love does get angry at times. You know, angry love is good love at times. Like Jesus, there's a story in the Bible where this guy, he's got like a crippled hand. It's like just all deformed. And the Pharisees, like, it's on the Sabbath, so it's on a Sunday. So the Pharisees or the Jewish people were like, "Nah, you're not allowed to heal on that day of the week, because that's the holy day for God." And Jesus, it says, gets angry. And he just goes, he actually like is fuming at these guys and says, "How dare you say that?" And heals this guy. And he, like, this righteous anger, that's the difference. Like, you can get anger that like wants to destroy, but love, when it is angered, is a righteous anger that wants to change. It sees injustice and says, "I'm not standing for that," and goes out and does something about it. So love does get angry, but it's not easily angered. So it doesn't get peeved off when someone turns on the light on them or locks him in the toilet or something like that. Like, normally it's pretty good. Love keeps no record of being wrong. So love's forgiving. And if we read through the starting prayer that I talked about, Matthew 6, straight after that it talks about being forgiving and forgiving others, for we've been forgiven. So love shows forgiveness. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. In another version it says, rejoices when the truth wins out. And that's when, you know, when the truth about Jesus, about the truth about what he came for and what he died for gets spoken, like, God just loves it when we actually stand up and speak for it. It says, love never gives up, so don't give up. Love never loses faith, so don't stop trusting for something, because love is always trusting. Love is always expecting the best out of people. Love is always hopeful, so don't stop hoping, because love always hopes. Love endures through every circumstance. Love perseveres, you know. Jesus, it says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. He persevered on his way to Calvary, on the way to the cross, of carrying that cross. You know, he could have quite easily given up and just went, "Stuff it." But nah, love persevered. It persevered through pain and torture, because love never fails. And I believe every time that we listen to God and hear from him and display this love, a part of us actually dies, it disappears, Because like we've got to kill off the old nature. We've got to put to death the old nature and let Christ reign. As Dave said, we've got to let the old, let I decrease so he may increase. And every time that we listen to his listen to the Holy Spirit and just hear him speaking to us and him saying, hey, I want you to go speak to that person across the road. You don't even know their names, but I just want you to tell them that, you know, Jesus loves them and stuff. I did that the other week. I was walking home from a mate's party and did it. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I saw this girl just sitting down. She was just like on the side of the road, just with her phone. And I just felt God to say to me, hey, go over and just speak to her and just tell her I love you. And I was just like, well, that's a bit full on. But that's, you know, it's easiest to go, oh, no, it's too hard. It's too hard, I can't do that. But like every time we do that, that's like the enemy's just trying to rob you of being able to share the good news, share that bread that he's given us. So like, it's not, people aren't going to bite you or beat you up for saying it. Like I said, and the person was just like sort of a bit shocked, you know? And then like she looked really sad. So then I started saying, hey, you were okay, and just sort of talked to her for a bit, and she ended up just smiling and saying, yeah, I'm okay. And like, I walked home thinking, I shouldn't have more been done there or something. Like I feel like something should have happened there, but you know, you just got to be obedient unto God and just trust that something was planted and something has changed. And like, you don't have to always see the fruit straight away, as Pastor Joe said the other week. Anyway, second point, a kingdom culture is a culture of faith. Matthew 17:20 talks about the faith of a mustard seed being able to move mountains. Matthew 13 is a parable of a mustard seed where Jesus says, he told him in another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that birds of the air come and perch in its branches. Like I said, it's a kingdom culture is a culture of faith. Faith endures forever. This is an action. Faith is an action. It's about, like he said, you went and planted the seed. Yet the result of it was birds came and perched in its branches. And you're thinking, well, what's the birds like sort of signifying in the parable? Like it sort of just means people, I'm pretty certain. I haven't gone deep into it, but like this is what I perceive from it. That as we have faith in what God's given us and sow it into the church and sow it into each other, because you know the church isn't this building, it's, you know, it's bigger than just here, it's about each other. As we sow into each other and sow into this house and sow into this community, into making it a place of faith, something grows, and it creates a place where birds or other people can come in and find shelter, where they can find provision, where they can find protection, where they can find a place of community and a place that they can call home. So as we sow into our local churches, because I know there's a few guys from here from all different churches, and I think that's wicked. I love it. I love being able to share to you guys, so then you can go back to your own churches and you know, be able to sow into them. And I think like that's awesome. I'm actually quite pumped about that. But yeah, just keep on sowing into it. Just keep on, even if it's just a small thing, because a mustard seed is so small. Even if it's a small thing, just have that little bit of faith and just go, no, I'm going to go that extra mile. I'm just going to sow that in. Because, as I said, as we do that, as we join in together with each other and sow and build a kingdom culture of faith, you know, it creates that place where people can come and feel like they can call this place home, that they can call this place their own, that it's a place where they can look for protection and shelter and community, all those things I said. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So a faith culture sees the things that look insignificant and small in the natural, and it's changed by the power of God to become something significant and abrasive. And I just love that Paul Kelly song. It says, from little things, big things grow. I could just sing that all. I just love it. Can we all sing it? From little things, big things grow. From little things, big things grow. Ah, give yourselves a round of applause. But it's so true. Like that's as we plant that little bit of faith, big things will grow out of it if we just continue to trust in God and believe for it. and as we continue to honor him and just believe for it. Like, it's like New Norfolk, for example. We've been, as a church, been in the process for about a year of getting something started up there. But it started with just a small little thing. It started with about half a dozen to a dozen of us going up there about once a week and just going up there and praying that God would move in the churches up there, that God would move in the council up there, that God would bless the hospitals and the police force and the schools and the people that are depressed, the people that are broken, bless those that are blessed. We were just praying. We just came up there just week after week, just with this little piece of faith that we had in us, and just continue to sow it. And like I said, it just started with taking that little step. But now that we've planted these little seeds of faith, we're starting to see things just grow and things just come out of left field, and people coming on board saying, hey, I think something's growing there and we've got a kingdom perspective and we want to be a part of this. And it's just exciting because every single week, or almost every week, probably at least once a fortnight, we hear from someone else up there saying, hey, I've got this or this, like this building, or I've got this resource and I want to be a part of what you guys are doing up there. And it's just really encouraging. Like, we're starting up a youth centre up there, and the council has just been awesome about it. They even donated a heap of skate equipment, and the school, like, we've been up in the school doing events and bits and pieces with the school up there. And it's just awesome when you go up there with just a desire just to help and bless people. Just how God just remains faithful and just opens up doors and gives us the ability to be able to do that. So if you're looking, if you're a part of this church and you're looking for something that you want to be a part of that is exciting and fresh and new, talk to me after the service, because there's so much stuff going up in New Norfolk and I'd love to have all the hands we can get, because, you know, the work is a few, but the harvest is ripe. So let me encourage you, there's things going on. You just need to jump on board and get into it. Where am I? Cheers. Just trying to work out where I was in my notes. I'll go on to my third point. Kingdom culture is a limitless culture. It's a limitless kingdom. It's an unlimited kingdom. And as I said, the faith, hope, and love, it says those things endure. I think that's what the hope is about. It's about hoping in our unlimited God, trusting our unlimited God, a God that has a cattle on 1,000 hills. Not that I'm really after cattle, but it just talks about his richness. The God who is so unlimited that nothing is impossible for him. It says in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. Do we believe that? Or a kingdom culture, there's an unlimited culture, takes the limits off. It takes God out of the box and says, oh, I don't know how there's going to be a way. I don't know what's going to happen here. But I'm trusting in God for it, because I know that in the natural, that it seems impossible. But because I know my God, I know that all things are possible through him. And like a mindset that knows and understands that God is almighty, that God is all-powerful, that he's all-knowing, all-gracious, all-merciful, all-loving, all like, what's that word? It's like omnipresent. That's everywhere. Omnipotent. I think that's the word, isn't that? Yeah. That's a word that you don't hear too often. But like, that sort of just compounds it all and just says that God is full stop. And like, but when we get that revelation that God is almighty, that he's all powerful, that he's all loving, then we realize that nothing is impossible for him, and that all things are going to work together for good, and all things are going to work together towards his good and perfect will. So let me encourage you guys just to take the limits off and allow God to stretch you and stretch your understanding daily. Engage him in your word and in prayer times and stuff like that. Like, you know, if we limit him and just chuck him in a box, he's only going to be able to do what you perceive him to be able to do. But a kingdom culture says nothing is impossible. I believe that God is the God of abundance. I believe that God is the God of the impossible. And we've got to be the people that believe that stand up and say, no, I'm holding to hope in this. So ask God to open your mind and receive a new mindset, one that is greater, with a kingdom culture, a kingdom perspective, a kingdom-focused mentality. Because only then are we able to, you know, do what he calls us to do, which is, you know, go and reach, go out into the community and see the lost come home and stuff like that. Like, it's only then when we actually receive this full revelation and we are able or even capable to be able to do that. So let me encourage you just to seek first the kingdom of God, you know, and build that. I think it's in Hebrews, it talks about an unshakable kingdom. You know, we've got to have a perspective of the eternity and allow the eternal to change our internal, that we may effectively bring the eternal to the external and see this place, you know, come to know the God that I know, which is a pretty awesome God. Now, if the band would like to join me. Still sunny outside. Loving it. So how are we all going? You feel like you've sort of got what's in my head? I know it actually seems a bit scatty tonight, but yeah, like I just felt God just wanted me to share that to you and just try to impart that sort of shift in focus, that shift in perspective of getting a kingdom culture, the kingdom perspective on things, and a one that looks to the eternal things of love and hope and of faith of an unlimited God. I just want to share to you a quote that I read the other week. It's just a really cool quote. It says, it's by Leo Tolstoy. He's a Russian fella. And he wrote, "If I know the right way home and I'm walking along it drunkenly, is it any less the right way because I'm staggering home from side to side?" Now, I've been talking about a kingdom culture, and like, I just really felt like God was just wanted me to tell some of you guys that, you know, it's okay if you're staggering from side to side, if you know the right way but you can accidentally step to one side occasionally and I stuffed up again, but just keep your eyes on the goal. Like, you know, no one's perfect, but if we know the goal and we just keep on walking towards it and trusting in his unlimited grace, that every time we do fall short, that he's just going to catch us anyway. Like, that's just where we need to be at. So let me just encourage you, if you've been walking the walk for a while and, you know, feel like you've been staggering from side to side, you know, God knows you, he loves you. He's telling you it's okay. Like, you don't have to worry about it. Like, you're still his child. He won't leave or forsake you. He's a loving God. He's a God that wants to reach out and take you by the hand and carry you if necessary. Like, so let me encourage you. Like, because even I stuff up, I'm not up here preaching to you guys because I somehow managed to do Christianity perfectly for the last 2.5 years since I've come to church. I know I don't because I stuff up almost every day. But, you know, you just got to keep on keeping on and keeping your eyes on eternal things and keeping your eyes on what God's called you to do. And just trusting in his goodness will overcome whatever things are burdening you or laying you back or trying to pull you down. So just keep on walking. Press on and keep a kingdom mentality. Keep a kingdom focus. Look towards Jesus, at the eternal, at the big picture. Paul wrote, I'll just finish off on this scripture. In Philippians, he wrote in 3:12-14, pressing on toward the goal. Not that I have already obtained it. I was going to say, now I've already obtained it. That'd be a lie. But he said, not that I've already obtained it, all these things, or have already made perfect, but I press on to take a hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal that Christ Jesus has placed before me. So let me encourage you, don't worry about the things that are behind you. Look towards the eternal things. Look towards what God has called you to do. Look towards the things that are going to endure forever. And just pray that his kingdom come and his will be done in your life. Because we shift from that perspective of self to eternal. You know, that's when he's able to work in all his glory and all his power in our lives. Take the limits off him. Let's reach out, let's speak out. And I just pray that tonight as we leave this place, that we would have a mindset of just going about the Father's business, about seeking the kingdom first, about leaving this place knowing that we are sent from here to to share what we've received to the people next door, to share it to the people in our families, in our lives, in our communities, in our work, wherever we may be, there's you're with people. So let's bring this to the city of Hobart, and let me just encourage you just to keep on walking, keep on pressing on towards the goal. Thanks, Ben. I'll leave it to you guys now. I hope you guys have received something. I'll just pray, and we'll have a bit of worship, and then I think Pastor Dave's going to come back up and share a little bit. God, I just thank you for this word you've given to me. I just pray that something would be received here, something would be caught, God, that that wouldn't just go off in one ear and out the other, Lord, but we would receive this word that you've spoken through us, God. And I just pray that we would have that you would renew us, God, that you would transform our minds and just open up our perspectives to one of the eternal God, and one that just wants to reach out in faith and reach out in love and reach out and take the limits off, God. So God, I just pray in your mighty name that you would just allow us to receive that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Ben.